Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the cross-dressing cannibal Hayden Clark, a man who was responsible for up to 15 murders back in the 1970s and 1980s. Before we talk about his dastardly deeds, let me introduce the crew. I'm proud to introduce a lady that is loved both far and wide, a woman who is known for, well, I don't know what she's known. What is she known for there, Colonel?
My charitable good works.
I believe her promiscuity, her evilness, and her general bad nature.
No.
Well, she did. She did have quite a reputation when she was a younger woman.
She did.
What we're going to do now.
She was known. She had a nickname in high school, and it was Boner Garage.
I'm glad you got that out.
And she was, they would, you know, guys in the neighborhood would kind of be out there with their little red flags waving.
With a little vest on.
Waving people to the Boner Garage. Mm-hmm. And they would, charge, $8 the whole day.
$8 a day. And it was only $5 if you got in early.
Yeah. So. Early bird special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they had a special event.
And she had the handicap van discount. She's basically a two-car Boner Garage, I would say.
Yeah. But how do you feel about that, Brandy?
Are you about done?
We're also joined by the very distinguished and honorable, the man who has so many titles it's hard to keep track of anymore. Sir Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Couldn't be better, Timmy. It's a rainy day in Cincinnati, Timmy.
It is. It's very rainy here.
It's been hot. It's been sunny. It's been humid.
Now
but today
it's
cooled off and raining, and it's just nice outside.
So, Colonel, do you have any shout-outs before we get started?
I got a bunch of shout-outs.
Are you running around through them?
Got a new listener, Amber Krupp. I believe she's new.
Okay.
First one. Met a new listener at the dog park, but I'll get into that one.
Okay.
Tara Venezuela, of course.
Yeah.
And that's not her real last name, but
no.
I like to call her that.
It is Tara, though. I like to hear her.
Stephanie Quick, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Tricia Hillard. John White, how you doing? Let's see. We got Jennifer Burdett,
mm-hmm.
Shannon Rossett, Sydney Saint and Michael.
Okay.
Shout out to them. Of course, the lovely Lady Beverly, who is watching, and the proper name for the sport is soccer.
Mm-hmm. She's watching football.
Bated breast, yes.
And
did I say bated breasts?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Beverly.
And she's waiting on the Brexit vote today.
She is. The Brexit vote's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, lovely Dottie.
Mm-hmm. My mom.
As always. And we have a new listener, April. Don't know what April's name is, but I've met April at the dog park. She had a beautiful German Shepherd,
mm-hmm.
Her German Shepherd's name was Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Oh, that's and the Dexter was just beating the hell out of Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
They like to play rough. Rudy likes to play rough, and Dexter liked to play rough. So Rudy just got the hell knocked out on him, but he had a good time. And she calls Dexter, and she looks at me kind of sheepishly and says. I always had a weird fascination with serial killers.
Oh.
So I told her about the podcast. She got on.
She's our kind of.
She pulled
girl,
up her
lady woman
thing and subscribed to our channel.
Mm-hmm.
And gave me her information in case I ever wanted to meet on a dog date.
With Dexter and
with
dog
Dexter.
Date.
What's yeah.
Dexter and Rudy.
Dexter
Did you
and
say,
Rudy.
Oh, can I bring my wife along? She'll love that.
We talked about our children and our, you know, whatnot.
Mm-hmm. The Colonel is above board. He's not.
Do you have to make everything dirty?
The Colonel is never above board.
Her name was April. Lovely, lovely girl. She's about
April. Thank you for joining us. And if you like serial killers, definitely stick around because that seems that all we talk about here.
Why do you got to turn everything dirty?
Yeah.
You know, everybody. You know the people who always think somebody's going to steal something. They're the criminals.
They are.
You know when everybody steals my shit. I wonder why I would think that.
So let me give a shout out to Alicia and Chip. Thank you for your support on Patreon. We certainly appreciate it. I also have shout outs to Nicola, Lydia, Shannon, Larry, Tasha and Katya. Yeah. Thank you for your activity on the page. And for Laura for giving us the secret word of the day, which of course was
Boner Garage.
So mm-hmm. We got that one. We got the Boner Garage in early, Colonel. We got a Boner in early.
We got
gross.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, let's talk about Hayden Clark. This psycho. He's got a lot of shit going on.
He's a unicorn.
He is. He's a trifecta, a serial killer, a cross-dresser, and a cannibal. I mean, you know, that's payday.
You only find one of those in nature.
I know, man. This is pay dirt.
We might do a story on just one of those.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe not cross-dressing. That's pretty common. But cannibal or serial killer, yeah.
Who the hell are you hanging around with that's pretty common?
Well, I'm just saying.
We know it's common at your house.
I would like to thank Carol G. for recommending this story because this guy is a pretty fucked up character. Hayden Clark was his name. Hayden Irving Clark was born on July 31st, 1952 in Troy, New York. He came from a prominent family. His grandfather served as mayor of White Plains, New York, and his father had an MBA and PhD in chemistry. His father actually helped invent clear, clinging plastic wrap.
Ooh.
And fire-retardant carpeting.
Well, the plastic wrap has been a big thing for serial killers ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, fire-retardant carpeting is always good to have.
Yeah, but they could call it fire challenge carpeting. I don't like that retardant.
For developmentally disabled carpeting.
Touched.
Hayden was the second child. His parents wanted a girl, and when both of his parents were alcoholic, and when his mother would drink, she'd often dress him in girl's clothing, and she would call him Christian.
Sister Christian?
I guess, Kristen.
I like what his dad called him.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I saw that.
Hayden had problems with anger at an early age.
You think?
Yeah. When he was 3 years old, Hayden rammed his brother with a bike, which caused his brother to fall and hit his head on the sidewalk. Hayden hurried home to tell his mother. His mother's name was Flavia.
Well, first of all, Hayden's brother needs to sack up and have some better reflexes.
Well, he ran to tell his brother, there's been an accident, but don't worry, the bike is okay. So he had a problem with empathy even at the age of three, it seems. His brother, meanwhile, was bleeding profusely and required 15 stitches in his head. Hayden's mother blamed his strange behavior on bad forceps used during his delivery.
That's crap.
Which she said gave him a head injury. She took him to the Yale University's Child Study Center at the age of 4, so they knew something wasn't right.
Well, maybe because you put a dress on the son of a bitch. You're riding around the neighborhood on your bike in a dress, you're going to have anger issues after people mess with you for a while.
You would think. The doctor said the doctor told him that he had cerebral palsy and perhaps some mild brain damage. So his father started referring to him as the family retard.
His dad is a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so his mom's putting him in dresses and calling him Christian, and his dad is calling him the family retard. So,
if the garter belt fits.
Yeah. Now, he did not do well in school academically or socially. He fell two grades in elementary school.
Jeez.
I don't know. How can you do
that? How do you do that?
Fell crayons or something? I don't know. Couldn't stay in the line.
He didn't play well with others.
I don't know. He was bullied and teased a lot by the neighborhood children. And he retaliated by decapitating the pets of the children who teased him.
Clearly.
Holy shit. Well, I bet they don't fuck with him anymore.
Now, that's where he just got to draw a line.
He went like straight Godfather on some people.
Leaving the cat's head in the bed.
Straight up Godfather.
He also started setting traps for stray animals. And when he'd catch them, all sorts of stray animals, cats, dogs, squirrels, whatever, he would torture them, dissect them, and torture them and dissect them. But he did have one pet that he liked. It was a raccoon who he taught how to sit on top of his head.
Nice.
That's pretty.
Then he could wear it as a
coon. I don't know if he taught the raccoon to sit on his own head, or he taught the raccoon to sit on Hayden's head.
Yeah.
Now, if the raccoon was sitting on his own head, that would be something.
That would be a better deal.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, so Hayden had an abusive childhood.
That'd have to be a Chinese raccoon. Chinese gymnast raccoon.
Both of his parents were alcoholics, as I mentioned, and they fought physically in front of the children all the time, and they were abusive to the kids as well. Growing up, his mother continued to dress him in frilly girls' clothing and to dress him as Christian. His father continued to refer to him as the retard, even in front of others who out in and outside the home.
Well, yeah, it doesn't sound like any kind of decorum's going to stop him.
No. When Hayden was 13, he was involved in a Peeping Tom incident that resulted in a police coming and charging him. His father tried to beat it out of him by beat the evil out of him by savagely beating him with a belt and putting him in scalding bathtub water. So,
you can't go full retard.
No, you can't. Or Peeping Tom.
Well,
ain't nothing creep people out like a retard peeping in your windows.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because they don't know when to look away.
Yeah, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Ain't nothing ruin a romantic mood either like a retard peeping in a window.
So, in 1964, when he was 14, is when Hayden claims to have murdered his first victim. He says it was a boy, although that's never been substantiated. He confessed years later to this crime and said his father helped him cover it up, but that, again, that's never been substantiated. In 1972, when Hayden was 21, he graduated from high school. He was the oldest person in his graduating class.
Thank God, 21.
21 years old, graduated.
Some bitch was buying.
But at least he graduated. How are we not? Let's silver lining that.
Yeah. In 1973, he enrolled in the prestigious Culinary Institute of America, a two-year chef school in Hyde Park, New York.
Ooh, fancy.
He did okay in school, but he had some problems getting along with classmates because he exhibited odd behavior. When his classmates would do things that he would not like, he would often urinate in the vat of mashed potatoes in retaliation.
Hold on.
That's clearly the way you need to go.
That's that yellow stuff that sits. I always thought that was butter.
Yeah, nope. It was Hayden.
Tinkle.
So after graduation, because he graduated from such a prestigious culinary school, he had his pick of jobs. The problem was he couldn't keep him because of his strange behavior. Between 1974 and 1982, he had 14 different jobs. He was fired from three jobs in the early 1970s for cross-dressing at work. Mm. And he became belligerent with customers and his co-workers. So, he had a lot going on. One of his jobs in the early 70s was at a place called Providence Town on Cape Cod. That's where he would again later confess to killing several women and drinking their blood.
Ooh.
He buried one of the women under a sand dune after chopping off her hands at the wrist.
Ugh.
He used her finger as bait for fishing.
Oh, okay, sure.
But those are good for if you're looking for a certain.
You have to use every part of the person.
And you can snack on them.
If you use liver, you're going to get catfish. If you get the fingers, you're going to get the piranhas.
Ears will catch walleye.
Mm-hmm. And the legs will always get sharks.
Yes.
Okay, so during this time, Hayden's grandfather died.
I feel like we're not being heard.
And his grandmother entered a nursing home due to poor health. Sorry to hear that. His parents would divorce, and the father died of cancer in 1980. And then for years later, Hayden would go to his father's grave and sleep.
And piss on his grave.
No, I thought he was going
to
pee on it, too.
No, he would sleep next to his dad's grave.
That's creepy and weird.
Yeah. In 1983, Hayden joined the U.S. Navy.
He's a seaman.
He became a seaman.
One of millions.
He became a deck cook for the Navy.
A deck cook.
Deck. Deck.
Oh, my bad.
Deck.
He did not get along well with his shipmates.
Shocking.
He made several sexual advances toward one of the sailors. When a number of his fellow seamen...
Was it a boy seaman he made a pass at, or a girl seaman?
Well, when they found out that Hayden had been making passes at another sailor, and they found out that he was wearing women's underwear under his uniform,
well,
they beat the shit out of him.
That's none of anybody's business.
And they locked him in the meat freezer for 3 hours.
Yeah, sack up.
Well, also in the Navy, Hayden experienced a concussion when his head was banged against an aircraft carrier deck.
Did he meet the village people?
I don't know. Or Cher. He may have met Cher on that.
He might have met Cher. Mm-hmm. I think he's closer to meeting the village people, though.
In 1984, his younger brother, Brad, was a rebellious teenager and became involved in drugs.
Wouldn't you?
Although he received 2 university degrees and was highly thought of in a new world of computers, the Clark gene would get the best of him. In 1984, his brother Brad was, after a night of drinking and drugging, murdered his date.
Oh.
A beautiful 29-year-old woman named Patricia Make. After banging her head against a brick cinder block and strangling her, he cut her body up in 11 pieces in his bathtub. He cooked part of her breast on the barbecue grill.
The brother did this?
Ate them. This is his brother. And then stuffed the remaining body parts into a plastic bag. Later, Hayden, who would do later, he intended to bury the body, but he grew remorseful, attempted suicide, and then finally called the police. He received 15 years to life. And as of this writing, he's still serving time in the Pleasant Valley State Prison in California.
He grilled that woman's boob.
This is his brother. Mm-hmm. This is his brother.
Right.
Well, you had chicken breast, and now you got Craigslist breast.
Yeah, but it's all fat and gristle.
They're soft and...
It's fat.
If you marinate them correctly,
I think he's barbecue sauce.
Huh?
Think he
I don't like barbecue sauce, but I'll probably marinate them in some like Italian dressing type of thing.
You've always been a breast man.
It's fat.
I'm a breast man.
On June 22nd, 1985, Hayden was discharged from the Navy after being diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. After being discharged from the Navy, Hayden eventually settled in Maryland, where he was often homeless. Also in 1985, he was charged with shoplifting women's clothes, but those charges were eventually dropped.
You know, sometimes you just need to feel pretty.
Yeah, apparently he did.
So in 86, Hayden was briefly living with his brother's family. I assume not the brother that cooked the breast on the...
No. His other brothers... He had 4 siblings, and his other brothers, I think they're all brothers, they had a...
They were normal?
Normal, yeah. Okay. They had a pretty normal life.
So after a few months...
Well, compared to the other two, the bar's pretty low there.
Well, that's true. The bar is pretty low. You don't have to do much.
Yeah.
If you fuck up, all you have to do is look at your parents and go, you know what... Yeah, but what Hayden did, did you see what he did?
You could go around the neighborhood killing animals and still be the normal.
Well, right. His brother thought he was going to be the black sheep, but hell, he comes out looking good after what Hayden does.
I'm sorry I crashed the car, but did you see what Hayden did over there? See, that's the family you want to be born into. All right, so after a few months, his brother boots him out because he caught him masturbating in front of his year-old niece and 5-year-old nephew.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty. Hayden got mad after his year-old niece called him retarded.
Oh,
I think she hit the hammer.
Oh, hell no.
I think she hit the hammer on the head. The nail on the head.
She's a year old. She did not call him retarded. He's just... he's taking baby talk and hearing whatever he thinks.
Well, whatever. He felt slighted.
Well, yeah.
No, I think...
This is an older niece.
Yeah, 6 years old. I think she was 6 years old.
So...
She probably did call him retarded. Wait, because let's face it.
Well, this is what I love.
Okay. It's really calling the sky blue, isn't it?
So, Aiden wanted to kill her for that remark. Instead, he just vowed revenge on the six-year-old.
Good thing she didn't have a pet.
What is this, Game of fucking Thrones?
I've got a whole list of 6 and 7 year olds. I got.
If I vowed revenge on every 6 and 7 year old that pissed me off, I wouldn't have time to do this podcast or have a regular job.
Well, you know, he wasn't all there. Let's say.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
So. He's vowing revenge, shaking his fists in the air, vowing revenge. It seemed almost hot as hell itself on the afternoon of May 31st, 1986. Where were you?
May 31st, 1986?
Yeah.
I was in college.
I was at a Memorial Day party, grilling hamburgers.
Cool.
But a blast of summer heat was what many people welcomed on the weekend that summer began, but not Hayden Clark. He stood outside his brother Jeffrey's empty home, sweating in the 92-degree heat.
You can just picture him just standing there like a creep.
Is this the one that he's vowing revenge against?
Yeah, it's not a happy story.
I don't even sweat till it gets to 98.
He is 6 feet 2 inches tall. He leaned against his Datsun pickup truck. Yes! Feeling sorry for himself and getting angrier by the minute as the temperature soared. The house was quiet, and everybody who lived there was gone, out and having fun. Jeffrey Clark, the only brother who wasn't in prison, had deserted him. So Aiden stood there, seething in the hot sun, about to go into his brother's residence on Sudley Road in Silver Spring, Maryland, to pick up his last box of belongings.
Yeah, so his brother kicks him out, he's getting his stuff out of the house.
As he began to move toward the house, a little girl walked up to him. He'd seen her around the neighborhood. She was one of those hanger-on kids. She's a friend of his niece. Her name was Michelle Dorr. She was the 6-year-old daughter of a divorced man down the street who had custody of her on the weekends. Michelle was wearing a pink ruffled swimsuit and was still wet from playing in the plastic backyard pool. She asked him where Eliza was.
That was his niece that called him retarded.
Right. It was then that Hayden Clark knew how to get back at his knees for calling him retarded. Nobody who crossed him got away with stuff like that for long. Of course, the niece already forgot about it. I don't ever want to hear the two of you bitching about me being on my phone ever in life again. Let's see. She's upstairs in a room playing with dolls. You can go on in if you like. So he watched her wander in the house, heard her steps. She went up the stairs. And when she was out of sight, he walked around to the back of the truck, pulled a toolbox towards him. He made his living as a chef, and inside the metal box were the tools of his trade. Every kind of knife that a commercial restaurateur would need.
You know what the colonel's tools of his trade are, don't you, Demi?
What's that?
Mrs. Colonel. We'll get Mrs. Colonel on the show one day, and she'll tell you.
Okay. Uh-huh, she won't. So he's got a shit pot of knives, all of them extremely sharp, and the retard selects a 12-inch long chef's knife and casually strolls into the house and up the stairs. Minutes later, Hayden Clark was tiptoeing up the stairs of the empty house. They had a knife. He went into Eliza's room, threw a little girl on the floor, and was on her so fast she didn't get a chance to scream. The first slash was a backhand from left to right across her chest. The second went back the other way, almost like a Zorro making the Z sign. She fell back in shock, and he straddled her, putting his free hand over her mouth. And she surprised him by biting his hand. Well, what do you think was going to fucking happen?
Good for her, but...
And that pissed him off, and he plunged the 12-inch blade straight through her throat.
Yeah, 6-year-old kid.
Yep. So blood's all over the wooden floor of this little bedroom. The room in the old house sloped, and the blood sought the lowest level. He really didn't know what to do about that at first. He didn't know if he should mop it up or cover it up.
He's freaking out at this.
Well,
point.
Do you mop up the blood and cover up we did, or do you have sex with the dead girl? Those are his options.
Well, you can do both. You just got to decide what order you're going to do them in.
Those are the options. So far, he did try and penetrate her first, but he couldn't make it work.
So he preheated the oven.
Well, evidently not enough.
Okay.
But he ran out to his truck, got some rags and an old Navy duffel bag. He went back upstairs and stuffed Michelle into the plastic bag and then inside the duffel bag. He then, you know, mopped up the floor as if he was swabbing the deck on one of the aircraft carriers he'd served on. Everything that had blood on it was stuffed in trash sacks. You know what? These people just think that their shit just whooped and walked out and disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's his brother's house, and he's, you know, it's almost like he comes to and realizes what he's done, so he's got to get his shit and get out of there. And, you know, there's no rhyme or reason for him hurting that little girl other than it's feeling slighted by her niece.
Yeah, he was serving up revenge. Revenge is a dish best served cold. So, you know, he thought the cleanup looked good, and nothing seemed out of place, and nobody would know. So he took the body and the bags and put them in the back of his truck. He had a job that he needed to be at a nearby Chevy Chase Country Club.
Nice.
Well, it's like Caddyshack.
Yes.
And
Chevy Chase, Maryland, I think.
Yes, I know. Anyway, he'd be there in 20 minutes, and he couldn't be late or somebody might notice that.
For sure.
Well, yeah.
So later that evening, when Michelle's father searched desperately for his daughter, Hayden Clark finished his shift at the country club and began driving the body of that six-year-old little girl in the back of his pickup truck covered by a metal cap. He stopped off first at nearby Bethesda Naval Hospital to get the cut on his hand dressed, because that's...
That won't raise any eyebrows.
The free medical privileges were part of his benefits package he received when he was discharged from the Navy.
That's a good deal. Thank you for your service.
Yes. When he left the hospital, it was nearly midnight. He drove towards Baltimore. Well, nobody would notice a dead body in Baltimore. When he saw some woods, he pulled over to the shoulder of the road and stopped, and he had a ready-made story. If the cops came by, he would tell them he had to pee and couldn't wait. Michelle Doar's killer grabbed the duffel bag, a flashlight, and a shovel from the back of the truck, stepped over the guardrail, and stumbled down a ravine and into the woods. At the base of the tree, At the base of a tree, he dug a grave 4 feet long, digging until he hit clay. He took the little girl from the duffel bag and began dropping her in, but there was one more piece of business. He had to taste her. The flesh was his pride, and her death was his revenge. Afterwards, he covered her body with parts of old mattress he'd found nearby and some leaves. Gross. He climbed back up the incline and into his truck, driving back to his newly rented room 5 miles from his brother's house. Meanwhile, the police investigation of the missing child started focusing on her father, Carl. Feeling neglectful, Carl lied to police and told them last time he'd seen his daughter in the backyard was 2:10.
Right, this is a big deal, too, because so his dad falls under suspicion, like in any missing child case. And instead of telling him the truth, when the last time he sees her, he fudges it to make him sound more responsible. And that ends up helping out Hayden here.
Right. The father didn't know it at the time, but he was providing Hayden with an airtight alibi. But Hayden didn't even come under suspicion for that one. Detective Wayne Farrell would later recall cruising Sunbury Road on the day after Michelle Doar vanished. He was grasping for any straw and came upon Hayden Clark in the driveway of his brother's house, tinkering with his toy's engine. "Were you here yesterday?" the cop asked him. "For about 2 or 3 minutes," Hayden claimed. Farrell had been checking around and heard that Hayden Clark seemed to be the neighborhood weirdo.
Well, I hope he's the neighborhood weirdo, because if they got someone out,
they got a different one,
is more weirder than him, that's a pretty rough neighborhood.
I know. Farrell later called Hayden and told him to be at the police precinct the next morning. Hayden appeared to have an airtight alibi. He said he'd punched his time clock at the country club where he worked at 2:46 that afternoon. Detective Wayne Garvey, was he a male prostitute?
I don't know. That's Fred Garvin.
Whatever. And Farrell, they did some figuring.
They did some figuring? They did some ciphering?
They did. If Carl Doar said he'd seen his daughter at 2:10, then Hayden Clark couldn't have found, abducted, or killed someone and then hide the body in 36 minutes.
Yeah. See, that's, like I said, the dad inadvertently gave Hayden an alibi.
It was nearly impossible. But they weren't going to let him walk out without being questioned. They went soft on him at first, asking about the rabbits he'd raised behind his brother's house and his life before moving in with his brother. They gradually began asking him about the children in the neighborhood, and Hayden opened up, complaining that one of the little boys had once kicked him in the testicles while they were playing a game.
Colonel, did anyone ever...
You think that was playing sorry? Oh.
Ah! Have you ever been kicked in the testicles, Colonel?
I have.
Mrs. Colonel ever kicked you in the testicles?
No, but, well, Mrs. Colonel has inadvertently kneed me in the testicles.
Mm-hmm. Inadvertently.
You shouldn't have had him close to her leg. Let's see. He also confessed that he playfully pinned a little girl to the ground.
The problem is women think, you know, they just always say, oh, kick him in the balls like it's nothing. They don't understand how that feels.
If you attacked me, then you deserve to get kicked in the balls.
No, I mean, just kick him in the balls. Just kick him.
I mean, public service
so
announcement.
Lightly.
It's a
serious
thing. Well, if you need defense,
me.
Self-defense, lady, a self-defense tip. If you try to kick a man in the balls, it's the easiest thing in the world to block. Go for the eyes. Always go for the eyes and the nose. If you hit somebody in the nose, it makes your eyes water. You can't see anything. Then dig your thumb into the eye socket until the eyeball actually pops out. Now your assailant is at a big disadvantage
because
he's only got one eye.
I only got one eye and their balls hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now his hands are going to be all up in his face, and then you step back and kick him in the balls. Now you could miss and get him in the taint.
Yes. Can you explain to Allie what the taint is? Because Allie had a question about taint.
The taint is Allie.
Taint your vagina, taint your asshole.
That's right. It's that no man's. It's the demilitarized zone.
The no man's
it's
land.
It's the no man's land between the buttocks and the vagina.
The anus.
The vagina or the sac in the anus.
Mm-hmm.
And it taint. The ass, and it taint the balls. So it's just a taint.
It's no man's land.
It's right. It's the demilitarized zone.
Yeah. Okay. She wanted to know if the taint was sensitive.
Ew.
No.
You was just checking?
Just checking.
Be sensitive if you got kicked there. So,
Chuck
Norris and all your self-defense shit.
Well, I'm just saying, go for the eyes. Gouge with your thumb.
Okay, thank you. So he confessed that he pinned a little girl to the ground, and Garvey jumped on it. Is that what you did with Michelle? He pulled out a photo of the little girl, and when he did, Hayden began rocking back and forth in his chair.
Mm.
You can't take that motherfucker to war.
No,
that's why they let him out of the Navy.
You know what? If you get accused of something, you start rocking back and forth.
Yeah,
that's a giveaway.
Yeah, they don't like that. Let's see.
But the motherfucker walks.
Hayden mumbled an answer and then did something the cops weren't prepared for. I feel sick. Do you have a bathroom? He asked. He went into the police station bathroom and began vomiting. The cops were right behind him. What did you do? Garvey shouted into the stall. The parents need to know. Tell me what happened. They need to bury their child. Was it an accident? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, the cops always give you that. Was it an accident? We want the truth to come out. It was an accident. He carved
we
up
know
this
you wouldn't
6-year-old.
Do this, so.
Right.
Yeah, well... So this guy's still selling Buicks in the bathroom stall, and you know they're shouting questions at him.
Mm-hmm.
He slid a photo. They even slid a photo of this little girl under the stall door. What did you do? Hayden made what was later viewed as a partial confession. I don't know, he said between heaves. I may have done something. Sometimes I black out and do things I don't remember. Bullshit. But they were close. And they were just inches away from an arrest. But then old Hayden seemed to get a second wind. He said he'd work that day and mentioned the 246 punch-in. Let's see. Garvey checked his notes again. Clark was crazy, maybe, but you can't kill or kidnap someone, then dump or hide a body, and then get to work, which was nearly 10 miles away in that kind of time.
Why didn't you go back? I mean, if it was me, I would go back and double check with the dad to say, "Hey, are you sure you saw her at this time?"
Yeah, I don't know why.
But they just let him walk. It's crazy.
So Carl Dorr had given his daughter's killer the perfect alibi, while at the same time directing the suspicion to himself because of his behavior. Hayden Clark just walked away from it.
Yeah, so they're suspecting the dad.
As for Michelle Dorr, it would be another 14 years until the mystery of her death would be solved and her body was found. Hayden Clark's mental state deteriorated over the next 5 years, although his appearance and his behavior weren't bad enough to get him committed. He stopped staying in rented rooms and began living under the cap of his pickup truck, often setting camp in the woods just off the interstate highway.
You know what he had? A tiny house.
He did one of those tiny houses. Fuck those people.
I've been watching those shows since you said that.
Fuck those people.
That's kind of cool, though.
Then fuck those people.
He was leaving a small footprint.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
Yeah. He should have slit his own throat. So his days as a chef were over because nobody would hire him because he was a crazy lunatic guy that slept in the woods, probably in a tiny fucking house.
So these people converted a school bus into a tiny house.
I saw those lunatics. Fuck them. I don't understand
why you have this hatred.
Because they are so smug. They think they're so. They've got the secret. They've got the secret to life in this shed. Fuck them.
I get that, but I'm just saying some of those houses are really cool. I wouldn't mind having one. I'm not saying I'm doing it for the environment or whatever.
Well, take it to Thailand. You can hook a donkey up to it. It'll take you all over.
I could never live in one of those.
You have a lot of resentment for people living in tiny houses. People in tiny houses shouldn't throw stones.
They should not, because I will come by with my big old house and fuck them up.
See, I couldn't live in one of those things because, well, Mrs. Colonel was a screamer.
Well, usually
he's a screamer.
It's not a neighborhood of tiny houses.
She screams at him every day.
It's not a neighborhood of tiny houses.
It's nothing to do with sex, of course.
I thought they just was piled up on top of each other.
No, they get 10 acres. Yeah, they get like 10 acres of land and live in a 400-square-foot piece of fucking house.
And they got their kitchen table converts to their shower, converts to their bedroom,
to their toilet. It's stupid. I'm sorry if I have to, like, do transformer shit on my house in order to make it functional, then that's too much work.
These people bought the school bus. It's a tiny school bus. It's like a short bus.
Oh.
A retarded, you know, bus. And they converted.
Would you people quit saying retarded?
They developing the disabled bus. But then they went over budget. You know, they went over budget because they decided to put a deck on it.
I'll check that.
Well, yeah.
They've got a deck
on the roof, a deck on the sides, and a couple of decks.
I'm waiting for
hot tub.
I guess, yeah, the hot tub is next.
I'll tell you what I thought was really cool, though, one time is there's a show on, they look at people who make houses out of the shipping containers.
Yeah. Now, those are all right. Yeah.
Those are cool. Because you make, like, you know, you get like 7 of them and you build this thing, and it's pretty cool. I like that. It's especially good, I guess, for, like, if you live in the prairie lands and shit.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty durable.
Yeah. They're pretty durable, and tornadoes don't blow them off the like they do a regular trailer.
Right. Well, because God doesn't target those places like he does trailer parks.
No, I understand what you mean.
Isn't there a point when you keep seeing all these trailer parks hit? Have you ever known people living in trailer parks? My cousins. I got cousins that live in trailer parks. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to speak for all people who live in trailer parks. I'm just talking about my cousins in particular.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be smited.
Well, they are all the
time. You ever been to New Orleans?
No.
New Orleans. Now, the colonel from the Dixie is from the south, and I don't want to badmouth the whole place.
South side?
But when Katrina came...
Hurricane Katrina.
Hurricane Katrina. The first thing I said was...
Not Katrina, Navratilova.
It's probably... those people was due to be smited by God.
No, that's not true. We have a lot of listeners in New Orleans. Don't say
that.
What
the fuck is wrong with you?
Have you ever been to...
Okay, I'm just saying... You know what New Orleans is? Is Detroit with funny accents. That's what it is.
You're Detroit with a funny accent.
No, they got better sex clubs and stuff.
Okay, still, But shipping container houses are better. Tiny houses suck.
Shipping containers are all right.
But you know what? Here's the thing with shipping containers. They cost almost as much as regular house to put one of those together.
Well, then why not just get a regular house?
Because I think it's bigger when you put the shipping containers together. It's more durable. Okay, so
you can ship yourself to China.
Ship yourself to China. Okay, so nobody's going to hire him because he's smelly and he lives in the woods.
Okay, he lives in his... Let's get this straight. He lives in the woods, but he lives in his truck.
In the woods.
He's not homeless. He has a truck.
Okay. He has a mobile home.
He does.
He worked odd jobs as a minimum wage gardener, sent out by homeless groups, and at night he would toil at fast food shops. But he had plenty of money. Living alone in the woods didn't cost anything. Gross.
Well, he's getting disability at this point, too.
By 1990, he'd saved nearly $40,000.
Holy Christ.
During those years, there were plenty of warnings.
So this cross-dressing cannibal motherfucker has more money in the bank than we do, Carl.
Yeah. When did he start eating people?
Well,
That doesn't cost anything either.
Let's see. Legal system that had focused on Carl Doerr and not Hayden Clark.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Clark continued to look the other way. In September of 1988, Hayden Clark visited his mother, who was now living in Rhode Island. During his stay, he began stealing items from her house. Flavia caught him and screamed in anger. "What are you doing stealing from me?" she yelled.
"Isn't Flavia, what you have after you eat Taco Bell? Oh, I got Flavia.
Yeah,
Flaviva or something. F-A-L-V-I-A, something like that.
Flavia.
Yeah, Flavia.
Let's see. So Hayden knocked down his own mother and began kicking her. He then jumped onto his truck and tried to run her over. Okay, into his truck and tried to run her over. And she stepped aside just in time. But the next day she filed charges against him for assault and battery. He got a year's probation. In 1988, Mr. Clark was stopped for speeding. Underneath the driver's seat was a .38 caliber Astra handgun.
Oh.
The same police department that had focused on Carl Doerr and not Michelle Doerr's murderer let him go after he pled guilty to a destruction of property charge that occurred earlier in the year.
And again, with all these killers, there's so many opportunities to catch this guy doing something.
He was able to walk away with another suspended sentence and probation. Let's see. So he got a slap on wrist in two states. The destruction of property charge was particularly egregious and showed his temper was far from under control.
This is another revenge thing.
In his last rental before going to live inside his truck, Hayden was bounced from a house in Bethesda, Maryland, because his landlord said he seemed crazy and evil. Before he left, he literally... Before he left, he literally booby-trapped the house.
What did he do?
Well, I'm going to tell you. Hayden began by balancing a 10-gallon can of oil on top of the door, So this is like Wile E. Coyote shit. Already, it's like Wile E. Coyote. So he's bouncing this 10-gallon can on top of the door so that it would spill when the door was pushed open. After spraying black dye on the living room carpet, he hid rotting fish heads inside the family's piano, chimney, and stove. As a final act of revenge...
I hate the rotting fish heads.
Well, there's nothing worse. As his final act of revenge, he killed both the family cats, placing one dead feline on the floor, on the front door welcome mat, and the other inside the refrigerator.
See, I wouldn't have done that, because if they saw that on the front door welcome mat, that made them more cautious coming in the door. I would put both cats...
No, I would have tied one of the cats to the couch. Mm-hmm. Inside the living room, and it would have been, and you look in the window, look in the door, like, what the hell's going on? Then they would have rushed in, and all the booby traps would have got them at once.
So finally, he stole several inconsequential items that range from books to tools. He even took the family's vacuum cleaner, because in the woods, there's nothing worse than not having your vacuum
cleaner. Well, he had to get the leaves from around his truck.
The smell of decaying fish permeated the house and was extremely difficult to eradicate.
I bet it was. When I went from junior high to high school, my last day in junior high, I put catfish, and put it in my school locker and put a lock on it. Mm. It should stay there all summer, man. You know, that was nasty coming. Yeah.
So
why
gross.
Would you do that? Are you serial killer too?
No. It was just catfish that was, you know, we had caught. It was we were just doing something a little prankish. Yeah.
Mischievous.
Yet the combination of a gun possession charge and the vandalism didn't set off any alarm bells about the man who local cops had once suspected of killing a 6-year-old girl. And why would it? Those are very different things.
Yeah.
A couple times, Hayden tried to get help. He would often show up at local veterans hospital, but after staying a few days and getting a few doses of Haldol, the antipsychotic drug, he would bolt from the ward and return to the woods. In February of 1989, local police arrested Hayden, and this time there was a 17-count criminal indictment.
Oh!
15 of the counts were for theft. The acts were unusual. Hayden Clark had dressed in women's clothing and visited a number of area churches.
Okay.
With his old pillbox hat.
Yeah.
Little Jackie O look.
Gloves.
Yeah.
While the women inside the churches attended choir practice, he would visit the cloakroom and stole their purses and coats. On the day he was arrested...
They might catch a chill on the way home.
On the day he was arrested, he pulled over to the shoulder of a park road and tinkered with his car. When the police offered assistance, Hayden panicked. He began fumbling around in the front seat, attempting to hide some of the women's coats and purses. No, he told the cops, you can't go in my truck.
Yeah, see, never talk about that.
You don't have a warrant.
That raised suspicion.
It does. And, you know, and that makes me say, you know what, motherfucker, you know where I'm going to go? The next place I'm going. But it was too late. The police had seen a black gun holster hanging at the top of the seatbelt restraint. And they wanted to see what else he had.
That's just a crazy place to put a holster.
Yeah. When they saw the women's purses and coats, and they asked if he owned them, Hayden Clark said, yep, I do. They're yours, said the cop.
Quizzically.
The incredulous cop asked.
Uh-huh. Timmy's getting all William Shakespeare with these scripts here.
Yes, said Hayden Clark. I'm a woman.
Oh,
hear me roar.
This was before you could identify.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what bathroom he used.
Yeah.
So the cops searched further. There were women's wigs, a hypodermic syringe, women's dresses, and a big old thick roll of cash, because when you live in the woods, you don't trust banks.
Well, maybe he used it for toilet paper.
Well, he was a baller.
Yeah, he was a baller.
Hayden was a baller.
Yeah.
Shot caller, yes. Mm. Arrested, he finally served some jail time. He stayed inside for 45 days before he posted bail, but later boasted that he did the jail time on purpose because it was more comfortable in the county detention center than outside in the freezing February cold. He's got a point.
Well, that makes a point.
Yeah.
Three meals?
He's got three meals a day.
Three hot ones and a cot.
And movies every Thursday.
Oh, movies every Thursday. He got to watch the Lifetime movie of the week.
He probably did, and he was reluctant to leave when spring arrived.
Yeah. I bet he didn't dress like a woman in there.
I bet they wasn't reluctant for him to leave.
I bet not. All right, excuse me.
Yeah, he probably goes again.
I'm sorry. Laura? Yeah,
he probably didn't dress like a woman.
Well, they probably dressed him like a woman.
Yeah.
Laura hoteling, is that what we're saying? Hodling?
Hodling.
Laura Hodling's divorced mother, Penny, was a psychotherapist, and Laura was considered brilliant, someone that was going places in her life. And no one was surprised when she was accepted into Harvard. Her friends expected great things from the beautiful blonde, who friends sometimes called Twiggy because she was 6 feet tall.
Damn.
She was going to be president of this country one day, said her close friend, Susanna Munroney. The words were spoken after Hagen Clark killed and tortured her in the worst way possible. Penny's home in Bethesda, Maryland, was about 10 miles from where Hagen had murdered and cannibalized Michelle Doerr in 1986. Penny liked to help the unfortunate and thought she was doing a good deed when she hired what she thought was a homeless man from a local church organization in 1992. She needed a gardener, and Hagen proved to be a good worker that soon cleaved to her?
Clinged to her.
Okay, this is...
All right, clinged.
Clung.
All right.
Clanged.
Anyway, he latched on to her, to this woman.
All right.
He became attached.
Yes. Yeah. Hagen tended to her azaleas, and she began to give him the run of the kitchen, because he was a chef and whatever. He was allowed to make himself coffee and use the bathroom while working without asking.
Yeah, he had a lot of privileges.
He could just go in and take himself, relieve himself.
Right.
Could he number two without asking?
He could do it. I don't know. He had a torpedo in the tunnel and had to come on out.
I don't know.
You think he could number two without asking?
But Penny was trusting.
That seems rude to me.
One? I can see going one.
Penny was trusting.
Going to two, you're going to have to know that person well. What do you think about defecating in public restrooms, Carl?
When you gotta go, you gotta go. Timmy?
Do you have a position on that, Brandy? Because to me, it's uncomfortable. I try not to do that.
I'm with Chuck. When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Okay, you hippies, continue.
Well, I mean, when you're prairie dogging it, Timmy, you gotta...
That's true.
As the boys used to say, when you got a turtle sniffing cotton, it's time to go.
Okay.
That's true. So, poor little Penny... a strand of pearls went missing, and she didn't confront her employee. She also failed to notice that her underwear and other clothing was being stolen one piece at a time.
Well, see, now I don't know every piece of underwear I own. I wouldn't know if one came up missing. Would you, Carl?
My underwear are numbered, Timmy.
Are they? Do you have days of the week?
Well, because I buy so much of this, I found my heavenly underwear. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I got these Hanes boxer briefs and a special blend, and it's like 10,000 little angels cupping the colonel's testicles, Timmy.
Well, that's nice.
It's like getting a
little fairies down there.
Little tiny fairy massage all day.
Yeah.
On your testiculars.
Wow.
So, interesting. You know, her stuff's being gone through. He's taking her shit. And she once complained to him about missing some gardening tools, and her employee yelled at her about it. Said she was being too hard on him, she thought at the time. Laura returned home after her Harvard graduation in the summer of 92. For Hagen, who the hell's Laura?
Laura is the daughter of... It's her daughter.
Okay, it's her daughter.
What happens is... Quick version. He becomes attached to the mom.
All right. So Penny. All right. So Laura comes home.
Laura's her daughter.
Yes, Laura's her daughter. She comes home after her Harvard graduation. And for Hagen, who'd become mentally and emotionally affixed to Penny, it seemed that Penny now had another child. And she appeared to like this child more than him.
What the fuck?
I know.
She ain't even come around, and all of a sudden now she's a favorite to drop down to the totem pole.
She's attending Harvard and doing all that, and Hayden's there, you know.
I would not like that either.
Using her bathroom.
Within days, He's plotting revenge.
Well, yeah.
He's been slighted again. That motherfucker, you don't want to piss him off.
No.
In mid-October, Penny Hodling told Hayden that she'd be going away to a conference.
Oh.
And she gave him the exact date. She'd be gone from the 17th to the 25th. Well, that was all that motherfucker needed.
Well, he started making a plan.
The next day, he went to the hardware store, got some duct tape, some braided rope, nylon cord.
Now, if that motherfucker comes into the hardware store and gets some duct tape...
Why don't they just... You know what I don't understand? You can't get on Amazon and just get your standard serial killer kit. You know what I mean? With the zip ties.
Yeah.
You got to buy everything separate. Chloroform, duct tape, plastic bags.
Like you'd have
bags,
to show an ID to get that.
Contractor garbage bags, you know, bow saw, hacksaw.
Yeah.
Sawzall. I mean, they should just sell a kit. That's my next venture.
Yeah, just sell a serial killer kit.
After the church gets going real good.
Okay.
Oh, this dumb bastard writes a check for his purchases.
Well,
and
you know,
in the memo line,
safer than cash,
he wrote Laura. This dumb bastard. All right, so that's Saturday.
Well, he wanted to know how to, you know, when he's balancing his checkbook.
Sure.
Buy all that rope and duct tape for?
So that's Saturday, the 17th of October. Laura went to a horse meet in Middleburg, Virginia. And then there was a big dinner party after the event. The next day, she slept in, and she watched a football game with her older brother, Warren, and his housemate. She'd taken a temporary job in Washington until she decided whether or not to go to law school or become a teacher. There was a big project at the firm due to start next morning, so she went to bed early, just after 10 o'clock.
That's not that early.
No, that's not too bad.
Around midnight, Hayden parked his truck on the street next to the Hodling house. He went to Penny's gardening shed and grabbed the spare house key he knew was there. He didn't look or feel like himself. For starters, he's got a wig on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, next to his skin, he's wearing Penny Hodling's underwear.
Mm-mm-mm.
He carried a black purse, because clearly it's evening.
Well, and he had the pearls.
And over Penny's lingerie, he wore a woman's blouse and slacks.
Nice.
He also wore a women's trench coat, and underneath the trench coat, he carried a .22 caliber rifle. Turned the key in the lock, tiptoed silently to Laura's bedroom, and once inside, used the gun to nudge her awake. His first words to her left the young woman speechless. "Why are you in my bed?" he asked.
He asked Laura why she was in his bed.
He asked Laura, "Why are you in my bed?"
So it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, except it's Goldilocks and the crazy cross-dressing.
Well, and Laura's over there, like, she didn't even know how to answer. And, like, what the fuck? What? He asked her again. "Why are you in my bed?" But his questions didn't make any sense.
He thinks he's Laura at this point.
Well, and then he asked her, "Why are you wearing my clothes?"
It is the Goldilocks.
Well, they were both 6 foot tall.
Tears fell from Laura's eyes and onto her cheeks, because I think she kind of knew she was fucked at that point.
Yeah.
And he looked at her and
Mom, thanks for hiring this...
this psycho.
Yeah.
He said, "Tell me I'm Laura. Tell me I'm pretty. Tell me I'm a pretty girl. Tell me I'm Laura." She said, "You're Laura. Just don't hurt me. Be Laura. I don't care. Be fucking Bette Midler.
But Laura's a nice girl.
I give a shit."
I would have told him, "Laura's a nice girl and does not carry a gun, so you cannot be Laura with that gun."
With the gun, right. Well, Hayden asked Laura to swear on the Bible that he was Laura, and she did. Then, holding a gun to her, he forced her to get up, undress, and take a bath. After the cleansing ritual, he led her back to the bedroom, made her lie on her stomach. His plan was to abduct her, take her to his campfire in the woods, and introduce her to Hayden. He bound her wrists with duct tape, then her ankles. He turned her over and began covering her mouth with tape, but got so excited he couldn't stop the tape soon covered her nose and eyes.
Oh!
So she can't see.
But she can't breathe.
Yeah.
And she struggled until the lack of air suffocated her, and she lay motionless.
You gotta leave the nose uncovered.
Okay.
As Laura lay still, Hayden began removing the tape from her face with a pair of scissors. Excited, his hand slipped, and the sharp shears pierced her neck and caused blood to flow onto the sheet and pillowcase. He became fascinated with the earrings she was wearing and decided they were fabulous.
Fabulous.
And decided to take them home for a souvenir.
Did he just rip them right off ahead?
Yeah. No, I don't know. When he had a hard time removing the second one, he snipped it off with a pair of sharp scissors. So he cut off her lower ear. So there's blood all over the place. Hayden Clark sat by her bed and watched her nude body for about an hour. At times he stroked her breasts, but would later claim that he neither raped nor practiced cannibalism on any part of her remains, because that's just gross.
That was quite kind of him.
At 3 in the morning, he wrapped her body in a quilt-sized sheet, slung her over his shoulder, and stashed her remains on a narrow bed underneath the cap of in the rear of his truck. He went back inside, gathered up the bloody evidence, the sheet, the mattress pad, the pillowcase, and carried them out along with some trophies. Laura's high school ring, a crystal unicorn, which clearly is what Hayden is.
Yes, yes.
He's a crystal unicorn. And some other personal effects. And then he laid down on her bed and he slept because he was tired. He'd been up all night.
Yeah, he had a rough day.
Laura's killer left the house around 8 that morning. He was still wearing the woman's wig and carrying the purse. A housekeeper standing with a child waiting for the school bus would later tell police she thought the person was Laura heading out to her job. Hayden got in his truck and drove 2 blocks to the parking lot of a nearby church. He backed his truck into the corner of the lot and went to sleep again. Laura's dead body. He slept by her dead body.
I wonder if they spooned.
Well, while Hayden slept.
He may have.
Well, it depends on where she's at in rigor, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
While Hayden slept, Laura's employer began calling the house, each time getting the answering machine. And it wasn't like Laura to miss work and not call anybody. So she sent somebody out to the house to look around. She got no answer. The young woman, who was a friend of theirs, got no answer when she rang the doorbell. Alarmed, she telephoned Laura's brother and began calling her friends. There was no reason to call the police yet. After searching the house, Warren Hodling decided to walk the route Laura took to the bus stop that she often used to take to her work. As he walked down the street, he saw Hayden Clark driving towards them in his pickup truck. Hayden was planning another visit to the house for more thievery. Innocently...
Well, did he forget a unicorn or something?
Yeah.
Innocently, Warren tried to wave him down to see if the family gardener knew anything about his sister's whereabouts. Hayden pulled over, but then when Warren walked towards him, he had second thoughts and sped off. Warren thought the behavior was weird, but he knew that Hayden was weird. He didn't think anything about it. Late that night, he called the police and he called his mom. Cops told him not to worry. Laura would likely turn up soon. Hayden was frightened after his encounter with Warren and decided to bury his prize that night. So why isn't he plotting revenge against Warren?
Well...
Who had the stones to wave at him. He drove to a spot on Interstate 270, just across from his campsite. Laura was heavy. She weighed much more than Michelle Dorr.
Whoa.
And he stumbled with the dead weight until he dropped her just 20 feet from the road. He dug feverishly until there was a shallow grave. He rolled her in it, covered the body with dirt and leaves. In the months to come, animals would discover the body scent, and they would dig and paw into it, trying to get to the remains.
You got to go 4 feet, cover it with plastic if you don't want the animals to get it.
Lie.
It's 4 feet. Most animals can't smell below 4 feet.
No.
Okay.
That's why they always get them out of the shallow grave.
You're not lying. You put lie on them.
Oh, lie. You put lie on them, yeah. Well, still nervous after burying Laura, Ricky Ritardo drives north toward New England.
Mm-hmm. What, didn't you just yell at us for using the word retarded?
Yeah, retarded, yeah.
So Hayden goes up to New England.
This is a nickname for him, though.
Okay.
That's not the same thing. In Rhode Island, he stopped and stuffed the bloody sheets, mattress pad, and the items that he had stolen from Laura in a self-storage locker that he rented that year. Now, that's another bad idea, generally, to rent a storage locker in your own name and then put incriminating damage.
You know what else is a bad idea is to buy duct tape at the hardware store and put Laura in, pay by check and put Laura in the...
Well, that seemed to be the first flaw in the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not going to... You might as well post it on Facebook.
Yeah.
I just killed Laura.
Yeah.
But he kept a pillowcase. That way he could relive the night by burying his face in it.
Yeah.
If he wanted a bigger thrill, he could take all the bloody sheets out of storage and play with them. Mm. Now, he drove back to Washington feeling pretty damn proud of himself. By now, the Montgomery County, Maryland cops wanted to speak with Mr. Retardo.
Hayden Clark.
Yes. Warren and Penny, who shall now be known as Ricky Retardo.
Continue.
Warren and Penny had both mentioned his name when his description was phoned into the headquarters, alarm bells went off. Literally, alarm bells went off.
Literally.
It was just red lights and flashing. It was a mess. Mm-hmm. So, wasn't he suspected in the disappearance of Michelle Dore, a trusting Penny Huffling, poo-pooed the accusation? Ricky Retardo would not hurt anyone. He's just a gardener. But the cops had other ideas, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Garvey's boss, Robert Phillips, was called, and he remembered Garvey's account of Ricky's vomiting in the bathroom and his alibi. When he was asked whether or not to bring him in, Phillips damn near exploded. Hayden Clark, absolutely, let's go. Get him in. That son of a bitch got away once, he shouted into the phone.
Wow.
He was very adamant about this.
Sounds like it.
The cops called Hayden's voicemail number. But, you know, he was living in a truck. Mm-hmm. And Hayden called back almost immediately. Hmm. He was pretty cool about the whole thing. No, he would not come to the station right now. He said he was going to bed in his truck.
Well,
they would have to wait until tomorrow. Now, after the call, Hayden drove back to the church parking lot near Penny and Laura's house. He went into his truck, found a bloody pillowcase, ran into some woods that bordered the church. He threw the pillowcase near the base of a tree and went back to his truck, falling into a troubled sleep. Because he ain't like the Colonel. The Colonel sleeps the sleep of the innocent every night.
Okay.
He sleep like a baby.
And even though you're facing murder charges in the morning.
Do you know why I can sleep that?
Why?
That way. And you too. Can sleep the sleep of the innocent.
Your sins are forgiven.
How can you sleep this?
How
can you sleep like a baby?
How, Colonel?
For $14.95 a month, you can be subscribed to the Colonel's First Church of the Latter-day Colonel,
mm-hmm.
and you can sleep like a baby knowing all your sins are forgiven. You could have chopped up a girl and buried her that day, but if you say, I repent and give the Colonel $14.95 a month, all is forgiven.
Until you stop giving $14.95.
Until you stop giving $14.95.
And then it comes back.
Then it comes back on
tenfold.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to do this in perpetuity.
Mm. So, is that word again?
In perpetuity. So when Ricky Retardo arrives the next day, Hayden, he was escorted by Sue Snyder, the head of a local homeless group.
What the hell's Sue doing there?
She's the head of a local homeless group. She's his advocate. I assume he was dressed like a woman because it says here in the script, the cops were gentle, stroking his hair and entering him gently.
No. It doesn't say that.
It does not say that, but it would be good if it said that in the script.
Probably, but it does not.
Okay, but it does say the cops were gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because they had nothing to arrest him for and partly because he was chaperoned. Hayden, of course, had an alibi for everything except the time Laura was killed.
Yeah, that's clutch.
He was sleeping, he said, in his truck. When he left the station, he began crying, and Sue Snyder asked him why. When Laura failed to turn up, the local cops decided to do a complete search of the area.
Hmm.
A dog from the feline unit came into the woods near Penny's house.
A dog from the feline unit?
Why do they call it the canine unit if it's all dogs? We know it's a goddamn canine unit. Ain't no goddamn police cats. So why they call it the canine unit? It's just a dog unit.
Okay.
All right?
All right, Colonel.
It's just redundancy.
Woof, woof.
Redundancy bothers the colonel. It's like they're acting like I'm ignorant or something. A dog from
like
the canine unit.
Like you're stupid.
Yeah, it
like you're a moron.
Yeah, exactly. A dog from
a retard.
Let's see, a dog from the detective
idiot.
Squad. A dog
Jackass.
From the forensic lab. No, it's always the goddamn canine unit.
It could be.
Could be a cadaver dog.
It could be a cadaver. Or he could be dusting for prints with his fur.
He could be.
So you don't know shit.
Okay, maybe my outburst was uncalled for.
Unnecessary. Go ahead.
But well, continue, please.
A dog from the canine unit led them into the woods.
The canine unit's dog.
They boarded the church. There. And, you know, here's the whole thing, though, Timmy. They don't have a canine unit. It ain't like they have this whole, like, you walk in and there's all these dogs sitting behind the desk typing
right,
on computer.
With a badge on.
With badges.
Yeah,
and,
drinking coffee,
know,
smoking cigarettes.
All like, oh, here comes Sarge, you know. Yeah. No, they're
in cages.
There's no canine unit. It's just a canine
unit.
Crew.
Right.
Kennel.
Yeah. But every time I hear canine unit, I think of a bunch of dogs sitting behind desks, typing on computers.
I feel you, Colonel.
Drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes.
I feel you, buddy. Dog balls.
So, anyway, the dog turned up one of Penny's bras. A woman's blouse, a high heel shoe. How come they always missing one shoe?
Everybody thinks they're Cinderella.
And Laura's bloodied pillowcase.
It's a Cinderella complex.
Cinder fucking Rella.
Taken to a lab, it was determined that the blood was the same type
of
blood.
You ever notice cross-dressers always wear high heels? Why don't they ever wear flats?
They do. Wear some flats.
Why can't... you know what?
Real women don't always wear high heels.
Right. Here's the thing.
Transgenders
or cross-dressers or whatever.
Oh, are you the expert on this
Every
now?
Once in a while, you could wear sensible shoes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Although, high heels, they do a long leg... They make your butt stick out a little bit more.
Now, if you're going to wear them, that's fine.
They're wonderful for the cat.
But from the bus to the office, have you some sneakers.
Well,
put the back, high heels in your back.
But I'll tell you what, any cross-dresser I've ever seen wearing high heels, they wear that shit out.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they
do. They know how to
better.
Walk. It's like they, yeah.
Yeah, I look like
never
a baby.
Understood
I look
that.
Like a baby deer when I wear high heels.
Well, the police got lucky, Timmy.
Oh, thank God.
There was a single fingerprint on the blood. And the cops hauled Ricky Ritardo right in there.
Blood, a fingerprint on the pillowcase.
Now, see, here's where it gets confusing.
Oh, okay.
What did you do with Laura? A detective growled. Now, was this from the canine unit that was growling?
No, I don't think so. I don't think dogs talk.
What did you do with her? He growled. So was it from the canine unit? Was it just a ditty? Okay, I just wanted to
fuck the gruff. The gruff dog.
Right
now,
but gruff.
Being that he's crazy and he has no alibi, he just says, "I don't remember." But despite this statement, "I don't remember."
Yeah.
The cops let him go.
If he didn't remember,
it
what
had
can
nothing
they
to hold him on. Now,
look me.
Next few days, they got some search warrants and they examined his bank account and found a copy of the incriminating check the suspect had written to the hardware store.
There you go.
They also located his campsite, searched it, but didn't find Laura. Then, dun, 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 Timmy, the lab confirmed that it was Hayden's fingerprint on the bloody pillowcase.
What is it? Dun-dun. That's a Law and Order.
That's pretty snapping the door shut on him. The cops also found Haddon late that night sleeping in the back of his truck, his arms wrapped lovingly around a one-eyed teddy bear.
Ew.
Sounds adorable.
Haddon would never see freedom again.
What happened?
Well, faced with overwhelming evidence, Timmy, even though there was nobody, he pled guilty to second degree. It was one of those body intellecti things. Indelicus or whatever. It's a Latin term for nobody, but
why don't
you're guilty.
Ask the guy who didn't pass the bar.
Yeah. So they find the campsite, they search it, blah, blah, blah. No, that's when you're convicted.
That's when they try.
There's no body.
No.
Well, then what is it?
And
that's when you're
absent. Is when you're absent.
It's when the body's absent.
No,
it's when
the suspect is absent.
Okay, so when
I don't know,
body
but
absent,
it's
what's
when,
it called?
I don't know, but when in absentia means you're not there to be tried. They try when you're not there.
So, anyway, faced with overwhelming evidence, even though there was no body.
And when you got a swollen tooth, that's in absentia.
He pled guilty to second-degree murder and received a 30-year sentence. Within days after his sentencing, he led the police, his lawyers, and the prosecutors to Laura's body.
You know what? It was really fucked about it. This guy kills a 6-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Then he kills this woman just graduated from Harvard.
Right.
Her mother works a whole life to send this girl to the finest schools.
Yeah.
She gets in the toughest school in the country, graduates, and then this motherfucker in a wig comes and...
I know, fucks her up.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had to pay back the student loans.
I don't know, Colonel. I would say think not.
Well, probably. So he leads the people Fuckers. To his body. Mm-hmm. But in prison, he made several key mistakes, Timmy.
What kind of mistakes did he make in prison?
He dropped the soap.
Well, he dressed like a woman, for one.
That is a key mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what? Seriously, what mistakes did he make?
Drop the soap.
Corpus delicti, Timmy.
Okay.
Corpus delicti.
Thank you, Colonel.
Okay, that's the term. If you're missing a body, corpus delicti.
Anyway, we had a local case of that a couple years ago.
Yep.
We did.
What was the name of people's name?
Carrie Culberson.
Yeah.
He began boasting of his many murders, telling inmates in detail how he killed Michelle Dore, Laura, and others.
They don't like that in prison.
The convicts, who hated child killers and who believed that informing on Ed might also get them early parole, contacted the police.
They were lining the fuck up to tell on that sumbitch.
In 1999, he was tried twice, Timmy. The first was for stealing from the Mahoney family, which netted him another 10 years.
That's the family that he had cut up the dead fish and put the...
Booby-trapped
house, killed the cats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The second was for the murder of Michelle Dore, where several of his fellow inmates testified against him. The cons were snitching on him.
They do
for
not
that,
like
he got another
killers.
30 years. Now, one might think that an imprisoned Haddon Clark would then sink into obscurity.
That's but what I would have thought.
But instead, he convinced an FBI serial killing team that he might have murdered as many as a dozen other young women. He had to believe it. Between January and April 2000, he and his friend Jesus were escorted to several states. Jesus, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey. He was walking with Jesus.
He was in drag when he went out.
It does not say.
I think one of the conditions to.
Oh, that's right. He had to be dressed as a woman.
Yeah, he had to get a wig and stuff. He had to go out and drag, or he wouldn't show.
So he claims to throughout these states have murdered young women. To facilitate the search, they did visit a local Walmart where they purchased female clothes and a wig for him to wear while they searched. In the end, the search for bodies...
he would not be caught dead in prison garb.
No.
Well, no. And he had to have some pretty hoes.
Why did he have Jesus with him, though?
Hmm?
He's got a friend in Jesus.
Well,
yeah, no,
I know.
A friend in Jesus, and he probably... he got the platinum package from the Colonel's church.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're not just forgiven for your sins, but Jesus actually walks with you all day.
Okay, but my question is, was he really with Jesus, or was some guy named Jesus?
Yes, Jesus.
Another gardener named Jesus.
Why did Jesus have to go with him?
He wouldn't agree.
Somebody got a dig. He was in a dress and heels.
He wouldn't.
That's true.
So
it was part of his bargain with the cops.
Jesus
come with him, and that they buy him a wig.
Was he trying to get a date?
Yeah. Well, I think
Jesus
you got one.
I think he was, his dance card was full for the next 60 years or so.
Well, but it was a fruitless search, partly because 20 years
they
had passed.
They didn't find any fruit.
Sand dunes shifted, sites where Haddon claimed to have buried victims had been covered over with asphalt and were now strip malls. The police did find something that gave credibility to his claims of more victims. At the edge of his grandfather's former estate, they dug up a large bucket that had 200 pieces of women's jewelry in it.
Hmm.
Several of them belonging to the young, beautiful Laura. Haddon claimed to have taken the jewelry from each of his victims as souvenirs.
Good Lord.
He is now serving two consecutive 30-year sentences for murder and one 10-year sentence for theft at the Maryland Penitentiary.
Thank God. And you can write him if you like.
I'm good.
Send him some panties.
I have a husband.
Pantygram.
PrisonPimPal.com.
Yeah.
Ew.
Brandy, what did you think of the cross-dressing cannibal Haddon Clark?
Again, he's a unicorn. You can get a cross-dresser, you can get a cannibal, but so rarely do you get both.
Yeah, he's a trifecta. He's
a real treat.
Yeah.
A real treat.
Thank you to Carol for suggesting Haddon as a topic. Colonel, what did you think of Hayden Clark, the cross-dressing cannibal.
He was an ugly woman, Timmy. He was an ugly woman. I mean, if you're going to cross-dress, and I ain't got nothing against cross-dressing, because occasionally
You've been known to do it yourself a little bit.
I don't make a very good woman, but I've seen some cross-dressers who are lovely.
Yeah.
But he was an ugly one. He gave cross-dressers a bad name, Timmy. And I don't approve of that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Colonel.
Well, I mean, I think if you're going to be a cross-dresser, at least, and if you're going to wear pumps, don't walk around all clunky and
And if you're going to wear a wig, make sure it's on right.
Yeah, his wig is probably always sideways. I mean, how are you going to keep a good outfit when you're living in the back of a truck?
Right. It's hard.
You know what I mean? You can't fix your makeup, right?
You may save a few bucks on showers. I mean, you may save a few bucks, but you won't be able to shower.
And there ain't nothing worse than a cross-dresser with bad hygiene.
No.
You can cannibalize, murder, do whatever you want, but you cross-dress in a bad hygiene, that's an unforgivable thing.
Yeah. Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us at find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two pages on Facebook. We have the History Dweebs page where we post a lot of history-related stuff, and then we have a page dedicated to the podcast itself called History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group. Join us over there. We have a lot of fun. Where else?
You can find us on Twitter.
Twitter at History Dweebs 1.
iTunes.
iTunes. And if you listen to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. That's how other people find us.
And you can find us on Stitcher and Libsyn.
Yes.
And Patreon.
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 Yes.
You think that comes from, like, the patron saint?
I don't know, but we would, if you are interested in donating to the show and if you want to become a friend to the show, please visit us on patreon.com/historydweebs. We have a page there set up. Anything else before we wrap this up, Colonel?
I think we're right where we need to be, Timmy.
All right. Any final word of wisdom for Team Colonel?
Well, I'm glad you said that because I believe I neglected Kim Taylor.
Scott, yeah.
The two leaders of Team Colonel.
Yeah. Don't want to neglect them. Do you have any shout outs for Andy before we go?
My people know.
Okay. And a shout out to Casey. And join us again, Casey, soon for.
And you know what I'm thinking is if there was only. Brandy's kind of, you know how like this person had a normal family, normal kid in the family, and then Brandy, Casey's the normal one. Brandy would be the serial killer, cat killer,
cross-dresser. You're out of your fucking mind. Never mind the fact that I got a whole other brother that you don't know.
I know, but Casey's normal and you're not.
Casey's not normal.
No, Casey's a lovely man.
Yeah, he seems very normal to me.
He's really not.
Well, all right.
You can't even put up the appearance of normal. At least he can do it for an hour.
Yeah. Casey, join us for a podcast soon. All right, that's it for now, and we'll see you all again next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.